the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 351, both stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. As servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise until his mercy he displays. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. 351, both stanzas.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of Luke, beginning with chapter 17, verse 25, and continuing to chapter 18, verse 8. Luke 17, beginning at verse 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Thus far.
Let us now try to seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Most holy, ever living, and faithful be, thou who brings us together in the evening of this work day. Round about thy word and eternal testimony. And Lord, that is in the time of grace, under the means of grace. And wilt thou grant that in this evening hour, that thou wouldst reveal thyself to be the God of grace. That there may be arrows laying ready that need to be driven into the hearts of kings' enemies. That one may leave here tonight different as they came. And we ask for one, but we all need it. Lord, the clearest tokens that thou still bearest favor unto us would be in the true conversions. And that work of the true conversion, that's thy work. Our fathers have stated that that is an act of God, greater than creation. That is a resurrection from the dead. And Lord, our greatest misery is that we don't think ourselves to be dead. That we still reason. And with our own human capabilities, seek good in ourselves. But wilt thou come with thy holy law, and that it may reveal itself in thy majesty and in thy holiness, and that we may receive by thy Spirit the lesson and the conviction of thy inflexible justice, and that there may be those who go home tonight who have to declare themselves lost because thou hast shown it to them, because thou hast convinced them of it, and that thou wouldst also give honesty in the preaching, but also in the heart. That if we have a beginning outside of God, that we would not continue to build on a sandy foundation. And that in this evening hour we would also not stand here to deceive them, as if that there could be a beginning outside of God and outside of that knowledge of the law, because thou knowest the days in which we live. Here is Christ and there is Christ. But we heard it, that thou didst reveal unto thy disciples thou would have to suffer many things, because thou didst come as the just for the unjust. Thou didst come to suffer and to die. Thou didst come as that sin offering. Thou hast assumed the human nature. A body hast thou prepared me. But oh Lord, that was also thy body, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. Lord, that eternal, unfathomable, great wonder, that the second person became man. May we preach that this evening, that wonder, that thou didst place thyself as that sin offering in the human nature that has sinned, as that one under the inflexible justice of God, and that eyes of faith may be given, first time or by renewal, not only to see it, but also to embrace it. Lord, that true saving faith, the work of thy Spirit, because then it is clear that he takes hold of Christ and all his benefits. Then that soul, as a guilty sinner, is made rich for Christ's sake, receives his righteousness, receives his holiness. Oh Lord, those are the mysteries of salvation. May we preach it tonight. Thou knowest what lays open before us, But Lord, thy word does not only have to open figuratively, but Lord, it needs to open spiritually. Favor us with that blessing in the pew, at home, and on the pulpit. And may we then commend unto thee thy Zion. Thou knowest where they are. May they receive tonight a visit from on high. Oh, that thou wouldst establish them in their most holy faith, in that object, Christ Jesus. Wilt thou remember in their strife, in their unbelief, in the corruptions that can dwell within, in their waywardness, in their afflictions and their impossibilities, in their small thoughts of thee, in their self-love. Oh Lord, the list goes on of all what is contrary to what it should be. But may it also become sin. May it become their guilt, because then it becomes true, he who eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners. Lord, wilt thou grant in this evening the owning of the guilt? Wilt thou remember the needs of the congregation, sick and afflicted? Thou knowest where, and thou knowest how. May we lay before thee the mother that is in the hospital, and that in light of the new life that she may carry in her womb. And then thou knowest, Lord, 'tis a year ago that they received those tidings of death. Their first son, how they had to carry him to the grave. And now this, may we ask thee that thou wouldst bring to the birth, but also to preserve life. Lord, thou art the giver and the upholder also of that young life. May we commend the case to thee, and grant also in those distresses access to thy throne of grace, that it may yet drive out. Remember them together as husband and wife. Lord, uphold them in this way. And may they also receive a place in the prayers of the congregation. Wilt thou remember the needs of all those undergoing treatments, or those who have chronic illnesses or pains, those who also have to experience the results of old age? We lay it all before thee. Use it yet, Lord, to prepare to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. But I remember the mourning ones, those who know what it is to lose children and grandchildren, the widows, the widowers. Lord, we lay it before thee. Thou knowest the sorrow, sanctify it. But I remember the needs in the families, watch over the marriages. Give love and unity and faithfulness to serve one another. Remember the couples who have been blessed with children. Grant faithfulness to instruct according to the aforesaid doctrine, both in talk and in walk. But I remember the families, the couples who long for children, but for whom that blessing has been withheld. Lord, look upon them And grant also unto them that they may receive what they need in those ways. And if it is possible, do wonders. Lord, I remember those who have to go through life single. Thou also knowest where they are, for whom that is a cross. Uphold them in it. May we lay before thee the needs of the rising generation. And then we live in days where we can be very busy with reading all kinds of tips and attending workshops for the raising of our children. And this should be done and that should be done. But bring us to that oath in the baptism. Bring us by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and bring that in their hearts. Oh Lord, let us not depart from that simple truth that our children need to become converted, and that we as parents may be brought in our inner chambers for it, that that's first and primary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those other things, whatever it is, shall be added unto you. Lord, remember them. Give in their young age a desire planted by thy Holy Spirit for the matters pertaining to thy kingdom. Build a wall of fire round about them for the temptations of sin, Satan, and the world. Wilt thou remember them, Lord, also tonight when they are with us? Teach them how to pray. Wilt thou remember the needs of middle-aged and older ones, the busyness of life and the cares of old age can be major distractions. Oh, Lord, grant therefore tonight a word in due season, that we may come to realize that we stand in account to thee, and that once our last breath will be breathed, and then we come to stand before thee, and then what we have attained, or what we were busy with to attain, it all is for someone else. And then we have to enter that endless eternity, bind the necessity, Lord, of true conversion on the heart. All thou knowest, the days in which we live, the days of Noah, the days of Lot. All, Lord, but may it then also be a word in due season. Wilt thou remember the needs of the education of our children, the school, those who send their children to other places for education or at home? Remember it all in mercy and provide for it, also safety upon the roads. Wilt thou remember the needs of thy kingdom? Help all thy truly sent and called servants, those who may have the status of emeritus, uphold them. Help yet in the labors that they may perform. Remember the widows of thy servants. Wilt thou send forth more laborers into thy vineyard? That's thy work, not ours. Prevent us from doing it. But wilt thou also favor us with more? Thou knowest the need is great. Wilt thou remember also those who may serve in the office of elder or deacon? Lord, remember them also in mercy. And also this local consistory. Remember the brothers, elders, and deacons. The one thou didst spare on his long journey to the mission field and back. Bless also his labors there. But remember them here in the congregation also tonight. They hope to vote for one of the brothers in the ministry to become their pastor and shepherd. Guide and direct all things, and may they receive a man in thy favor, whom thou dost know about, and who also thou sendest unto this place to labor. Grant also with that, Lord, work in the inner chamber. Wilt thou remember the needs of mission work? Wherever it is done in simplicity and in truth, add thy blessing. Help those who labor there. Thou knowest the lonely position. Wilt thou remember the needs of those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Uphold them under that yoke. Remember thy covenant people, the Jews. May we also lay them before thee. And thou knowest the turmoil, the tensions. But Lord, thou also knowest the promise. And that shall take place before the eyes of the whole world. No one will have to doubt then anymore what is happening. All may we ask thee for the conversion of the Jews. And remember us then also as congregations, for thy word is also clear. When that shall take place amongst the Jews, they will also have a fruit in the churches. All thou knowest the times in which we are living, that it seems with the words of the poet, thy vineyard no longer thy tender care knows. But Lord, he also says, he pleads, that we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. Wilt thou remember then thy Zion worldwide, but also here locally? Wilt thou help us tonight in the preaching of thy word? We stand before that task. May we ask of thee for what we don't have of ourselves. Oh, Lord, bless us yet with fresh oil, but also with Aaron's and hers, that fellow laborers in the prayers and in the wrestlings, in the sighs to the throne of grace. Lord, be in our midst. Come with thy spirit. Open hard hearts. Lord, do wonders. May we so ask it, not because we have deserved it, but Lord, could it be because of him whom thou hast sent unto this world, but also received again unto thyself, and hast exalted him to the right hand of the Father to intercede. Lord, remember us then, for the sake of him whom thou hearest always, him whose hands are pierced, and upon those merits he may demand the salvation of thy people. Lord, grant it this evening, that thy Zion may be refreshed and new ones born in Zion. We ask it in Jesus' name only. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of Psalter 174. O all ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. The four stanzas of 174, while in the meantime your offerings will be received. My beloved hearer, we have sung from that Psalter 174. And that phrase, "If in my heart I sin regard, my prayer he will not hear." So then I can ask tonight, what is in your heart? What dwells there, children? What lives in your heart? Because what the poet is saying, that is, if there is sin in my heart, then my prayer cannot receive an answer. So as if to say, how must that go? When we in our covenant head Adam have fallen away from God into the state of sin, and that in our heart instead that there dwells holiness, righteousness, and knowledge, that there now dwells sin. How can such a person then be given an answer to his or her prayer? And you know, congregation, and that I say that out of all honesty, how many of us think of that? Myself included. And we send when we try to pray. Do we then think, what is now dwelling in my heart? Is my prayer a mirror of my heart? What is prayer? That is, if it is right, the breathing of the soul. As if to say, the breathing of the heart. So what is now so necessary that we receive a true prayer? And that true prayer will therefore never be a fruit from our heart by nature. That true prayer will be a fruit of the true regeneration. Ye must needs be born again. And then I hear the disciples as a fruit of the regeneration. Lord, teach us how to pray. Then I read of the fruit of the regeneration in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Then still Saul of Tarsus. God's testimony of his heart. Behold, he prayeth. So do you see the necessity, congregation, of true conversion in light of prayer life? Eh? And I don't discredit it, or congregation, don't get me wrong. But we live in days, eh? Every year there's a new devotion book. Every year there is something new on the shelf to help us in our devotions. And the book sales have never been like today. What is all being published today, it has never been like today. But congregation, that can stay all here upstairs. That's all for up here. And I know it can be a means. That's 100% true. But that is now exactly what has to happen between our cradle and our grave. It has to become a heart matter. That now the Lord has to come in our heart with that true regeneration. And then we live in the days where the intellect, as if to say also in religious matters, that may grow. But that's not the heart. That is all in the head. And now the Lord is going to have a church also when it will be like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot, who he is going to teach what that heart matter is, what it is to receive that true prayer, and that prayer that will never let go of God anymore, except that thou wouldst bless me. All that prayer that is going to receive access, because he plants it. He places it in that heart. And then if you are younger, middle-aged or older, then it is tonight under the means of grace. May it be God's time that one may leave here tonight, and that the testimony will become of that heart-renewing work. For behold, he or she, 80 years old or 8 years old, or anything in between or above, that he, she prayeth. That true, that upright prayer, that prayer from the heart. My text words tonight you can find in Luke 18, the verses 7 through 8. Luke 18, 7 through 8 is my text words this evening. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So far my text words. Underneath it, Christ's instruction to pray. Christ's instruction to pray. 3 points. First, the example to persevere. My second point, the comfort that he hears. And third, the testimony that he answers. So Christ's instruction to pray. First, the example to persevere. That is from that parable of the widow and that judge. What is now the example in that lady persevered? And in that true prayer, the Lord is going to teach his children what it is to persevere. The example to persevere. Second, the comfort that he hears. Yeah, how? Well, it says, and verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The comfort that he hears, not answers, but the comfort that he hears it, he bears long with the answer. He bears long with the answer. But this parable reveals that there is a church who will hear also tonight. I don't have the answer. That's true. That's what I'm missing. But then are you telling me there is a place in the Bible that says, although I don't have the answer, the Lord hears my prayer? Yes. That is the parable here tonight. That the Lord hears the prayers, although the answer is still missing. But my third point, there's also the testimony of truth. As if to say we have to then also examine our prayer life to that. It is a comfort that he hears, but that's not enough. It's not enough. We also need to receive that testimony that he answers, and that also lays in that parable, because shall God not avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him? In that word avenge, that is the testimony of God in light of what that judge did. Finally, he avenged that widow. Because he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary. That word avenge means I will do justice to her case. So the testimony that God answers, because in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect. May the Lord guide us this evening to explain these text words in your midst, and may he be pleased to leave a blessing behind by his Holy Spirit. Children, it's a parable. And the parables in the Bible, that is an everyday situation with a spiritual meaning. So the story is of an everyday situation. There was in those days of Israel, when Christ was speaking here these words of this parable, there were the judges and there were the widows. And now so the Lord is using that everyday situation to paint, as if to say, that picture of that spiritual meaning in light of prayer, how God hears it and how God is answering that. So that parable is bringing that to the foreground. And then in verse 1, as if to say, you have the main theme of this parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And now when that is coming, that parable, so that everyday situation with that spiritual meaning, that is now also coming across because there was a necessity for it. As if to say, he has held a certain discourse. He has preached, he has spoken. And now, as if to say, he has to hold before his hearers this everyday situation with that spiritual meaning. And then the main theme of that is, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So right away, this is also bringing to the foreground, he has said something in which you would have to acknowledge that it is hard to hear. That it is giving you discouragement instead of encouragement. So this parable is receiving value when the broader context of this parable is also held before us in the Bible. And that's Luke 17. Now, we didn't read that whole chapter, we only read the last part of it. What is that about? End times. End times. And what would have to take place in those end times? Oh, first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. As if to say that it is going to be a time which is not easy. Because in those days of Noah, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Until the day Noah entered into the ark. And then, likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And then those examples, of how sudden that shall come. The housetop, that he should leave his stuff in the house and not come down to take it away. Those who are in the field should not return to the house, stay in the field. That coming, that second coming of Jesus Christ. What is the days we are living in? The days for the preparation of that second coming. What kind of a day shall that be? Let the Bible speak. And as if to say, then give yourself the answer. It shall be like the days of Noah. It shall be like the days of Lot. Discouraging. Yeah, for whom? For whom is that discouraging? those people in the days of Noah, they were not discouraged. No, what does it say? They were busy. They did eat, they drank, they married wives and were given into marriage. They were enjoying life. So then you see right away, in light of the context of this parable, that everyday situation has its context to these words. And that is now also as if to say to lay our life next to that. What is our life? Eating, drinking, marrying wives and giving into marriage? As if to say, are we busy for pleasure? Are we busy for the here and the now? Oh, congregation, that eating and that drinking. Everybody needs to eat. Noah also had to eat. Big meals. He was working hard. Physical labor building that ark. But how was it done? In simplicity. That was a meal to strengthen his strength for the service of the Lord, whereunto he was called to build that ark. And he was living in a world that had lost view of that. That ark that was nonsense. That ark that was something that had no value. A congregation, so it shall be in the days of Noah. Like the days of Noah. That many, multitudes upon multitudes, will be busy for the pleasures of their own flesh. And congregation, then it is so easy to look outside the church doors. To look outside to another family. We don't do what they do. Is it necessary that we are uncovered to our drinking, to our eating, and to our marriages? To behold in it. What are we doing it for? What are we eating for? What are we getting married for? What are we seeking pleasure for? Is that all for the here and the now? What have we as churches then also become world conform? Think only of how many also if our families are busy to plan the eating and the drinking, the pleasures of the flesh in the vacations. How many of our members are also not busy in the spring breaks on the beaches of Mexico and the places in Florida? Congregation, it's sin. It's revealing the days of Noah. And it is revealing where our heart is, far from God, and seeking the pleasures of our flesh. And yeah, I can take my Bible with. I can take a sermon with. I can listen over there. Or maybe we are pious enough to say we do it in between the Sundays. But shall you not forget what we have sung from the Psalter congregation? That if I in my heart sin regard, my prayers shall not be answered. What would it be if on those beaches of Mexico, God says it is enough, and he cuts your brittle thread of life off, and that there you have to meet God? It shall be like the days of Noah. They did not expect the judgment, but it came. And so it shall be in the days of Lot. What was that? That they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. What is the days in which we are living? Is it not one building project after another? Where that it is one house, this too small, that too outdated, and we throw it down or we move on to the next. And so you see, congregation, that in those days of Lot, that they were also so busy for the pleasures of the flesh. And congregation, again I emphasize, it does not mean that you have to live in a shack. And it does not mean that you may not live in a nice house. But what are we doing it for? Are we doing it to follow the trends of the world? Are we doing it to keep up with the luxuries of the world? Are we doing it to appease our flesh? Then it is so clear from that Psalter which we have sung, that if I in my heart sin regard, that my prayer cannot be answered. And then you can sit in your nice house, and then you can lay on your knees in that nice house. But then the Lord has to turn your prayer away because of the sin in which you are living. So you see very clearly, congregation, that it is a matter in which we have to examine, not just as if to say what is in my heart, but how am I busy? What am I manifesting as fruits? It is like those days of Noah, it is like the days of Lot. And that shall be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man, when Christ is going to return. And in the parable, how does God end it? Shall he find faith in the earth? So you see very clearly, he has had to say difficult things. Christ. Oh, Christ, he was a preacher. He was honest. And congregation, every servant of the Lord has to give an account to the master and not to people. And therefore I also have to deal honestly with the souls that are tonight entrusted unto my care. And so Christ, he brought forth difficult things. Are as if to say, did I have to tonight lay the finger on the sore spot? Did in this evening that word of God lay something open in your heart, which is sin? Did in this evening our God's word uncover in your life something which is hindering the access unto his throne of grace? Is hindering the answer? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lot vexed his righteous soul in Sodom. Noah was the preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And so, congregation, also in our days, there will be a remnant. A remnant who has to vex their righteous soul in the midst of all the judgments. In the midst of how the world is ripening itself for Christ's second coming. And so there will be office bearers who will have to realize Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but I don't read of one conversion in 120 years. And he spake a parable unto this end. Parents who maybe have warned their children, but they see no result. Maybe even children who had to point something out to their parents, but it was on deaf ears. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. In the midst of all that discouragement, in the midst of all that sin, there is a remnant who becomes discouraged. And about what? Because they can't lift themselves an inch above the world. And they can't lift themselves an inch above that self-righteous religion that is always seeking to appease the flesh and to compromise with the flesh. And that religion where that pleasure of the flesh and my Bible, that cannot go together. There is a remnant that becomes discouraged. But now they receive instruction from God. Would it be a wonder this evening if you in your discouragements would yet be given an answer, given some instruction from God about your situation? Why, I said, they can't lift themselves an inch above the world. Why, they know what lives here in their heart. They know there lives a heart that is seeking the pleasures. They have to encounter so much sin in their heart. And then the devil comes. He says, you better never pray no more. You better never go on your knees no more. Or he will say, you pray and keep praying, but God will never answer. All congregations, Satan can be busy to discourage so much. And the times in which God's church has to live can discourage them so much in the seeking of his countenance, especially when he withholds himself in the answers, when he allows it all to go through, when he allows it as if that there is no commandments, as if he is also in a way favoring those people who are all busy like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. But now the Lord is coming with that example. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. That judge is described how, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now that is those of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Do you want to hear what fears not God and neither regards man? That is, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. That is now one who does not fear God, neither regards man. The fear of the Lord, children, is often in the Bible compared to obeying his law. Now there sits a judge in that city. He does not obey God's law and doesn't fear man. As if to say, that's the pinnacle of corruption if you have such judges on your benches in the courts, who puts God's law to the side and puts the fear of man to the side and does his own thing. And now so there is also in that city a widow. And what is that picture? A widow of distress, sorrow, affliction. That judge goes home to his wealth and to all that pomp what he has. And that widow has to go away of suffering. Ask the widows, the widowers, who know what that is? Loneliness. Ask how many times they have to encounter that pain, that sorrow. Then in this, then in that, it never leaves them. There is one in that city who has to encounter affliction upon affliction. And on top of it, when it says, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. She has an adversary, and that adversary is against her. And she is asking, avenge me of my adversaries, do justice to what I am falsely accused of. Do justice to how my adversaries are busy to destroy me. And you know from the Old Testament, if there was one thing that the Lord had an eye upon, it was also the social justice of the widows. That was a great punishment for the kings. When the kings would not heed to the needs of the widows and of the fatherless. And now that is the case. And that is now that earthly situation. But that woman does not just come once or twice and gives up. That woman keeps going. And how is she going? Always with the same, as if to say, with the same problem. Avenge me of my adversary. And now, congregation, that earthly example which the Lord Jesus is giving, that as it shall be in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, that there is a remnant, they keep having the same case unsolved between them and God. This woman is not switching her case with that judge, but that is now always the same. And now, so congregation, it is a picture of how in this earthly example that this woman is given to persevere in the same case over and over. Oh, how Satan the devil can come against that remnant in the days when it shall be like Noah and Lot. But that is a church that has to go on the knees seeking access to their God with the same needs, with that same burden. And that burden is for the fellowship and for the communion, for that to be avenged of the adversaries, to be delivered from all what is against them. And so this widow continues on and on to lay her case before that judge. And therefore that example to persevere, that is now every time she is coming. Why? Because it is a case which only that judge is able to solve. And that is now an example in that woman. She only is able to go to that judge. He's the only one who can avenge her. He does not hear her, but as if to say, he sees her every day. Well, I shouldn't say he doesn't hear her. He doesn't answer her, but he hears of her all the time. And that is an example to persevere. And then it comes, eh? He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Oh, that is a woman who in her coming eventually, that judge who doesn't fear God nor regard man, as if to say, he bows out. And he decides to answer her. He decides to avenge her of her adversaries. So in that earthly picture, and especially in the context of Luke 17, that one who does not regard man and doesn't fear God, put the law to the side, corrupt, eventually he hears. How many prayers do you send up unto God in the days like Noah, in the days like Lot? Do you have an adversary who you are not able to deliver yourself from? All congregation, is there a remnant in Cortland who cries to God under the burden of sin, under the burden of a sinful heart, under the burden of missing God, under the burden of how God has revealed unto your soul that you have sinned against him, and because of that, that justice of God needs to be satisfied? Is there burdened ones tonight who say, is that an earthly picture? I see my life in it. In all the discouragements within my heart and outside in the world in which I have to live. But is there then a parable spoken to show that the Lord is using an example of now a woman that keeps coming to the judge, and eventually the judge hears it and answers her to her case? Oh, as if to say, are you then also longing that this parable, that earthly situation, may also be explained. Let the deeper, that it may be applied in its spiritual meaning, because that is how the Lord comes, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Because now that worldly judge answers, and why? I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. As if to say that judge couldn't handle it any longer to hear her just case. He could not handle it any longer to hear it and not to answer it. And here also the original language, when it says, when she weary me, the word weary, that means, yeah, tired, as if to say worn out. But it is also especially that this word is pointing, in that word weary, to a blue eye. And now, children, if someone gets hit hard, then that can leave a mark behind that you have a blue eye. Now, that's the earthly picture also in this. If this judge would not answer her, he says, it would weary me to such an extent, it would injure me severely. Now, so that example to persevere, if that judge would not answer, it would injure himself. And now the Lord Jesus comes in. That's me. That is now why I have to tell you this parable, because I have a remnant in the days when the Son of Man shall come. And they will cry. They will beg. They will plead. And then it may seem as if there is no answer. When it says that here, though he bear long with them. But that is now here, that judge, as if to say, took a while before he answered her. But every time he heard it, oh congregation, then my second point, the comfort that he hears. In all your distresses, this parable the Lord is revealing, that though he bear long with them, he hears their crying. And then that is tonight, to those who in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, they can't go along with it, but they are not a hair better. They have no self-righteousness in them, as if to say, to make them more righteous than that world. But there they lay on the floor again, mourning and crying to God about their unrighteousness. You know it? You have such a place where that you mourn in your unrighteousness, though he bear long with them? Have you ever said it to the Lord? Lord, it seems like I don't get an answer. It seems as if thou art withholding thyself. But here I am again. Where else can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Say it. In the days when it shall be like Noah, and when it shall be like Lot, may I ask you, who has God become for you? Yeah, how? God as a Savior. That's not how it begins. No. God as my judge. And as if to say, here I am again, making supplications unto my judge. Young people, children, when you read your Bible, has it already happened in your life that God spoke to you through his word? And did it uncover to you your sin in the midst of a sinful world? Have you already, with that power of that regeneration, been given to make the choice by the Holy Spirit to forsake sin and all your former friends, to turn your back to the world? That happens in conversion. And to make your supplications to your judge. This widow has to go to the judge. He's higher than her. And so in the true conversion, you don't learn to associate with God as your friend. As if to say, you don't just put your hands in your pocket and you begin to pray, and Father this and Father that. That is flat on the floor. Oh God, I have sinned. I have done that which is evil in thy holy sight. And so, praying and no answer. And here you sit again tonight. Praying, maybe for many years already, and no answer. And oh, that devil, and oh, that world, and oh, that weak flesh. So many temptations to head straight back into the world, to head straight back into sin. But that it brings you on the floor before God and say, oh Lord, then for sure it would be lost. Then I would be as a dog that returns unto the vomit. Then there they lay as that widow in her misery, with her affliction, with her burden, and a judge who seems not to answer. But I said it, he hears it. Oh, God hears it. How do God's people know that he hears it? Because sometimes at the throne of grace, they may unload their burden before their judge. Sometimes when they walk with that burden again and they are driven to their inner chamber, oh, they don't know much of God. But then they feel it, then they hear it, then they experience it. Now God takes the burden over. Then I may lighten my load of my burden before my judge. No answer. No answer. But now, so congregation, there comes in the life of God's people a communication and a seeking of that communication with their judge, with the God whom they have left. And that God owes them nothing. But do you know what they now have, congregation? There is now in that a case. What is the case? The case is that there is one who is crying to God for forgiveness. And what does the Lord say then? That not only he hears, but that it is also recorded, seek and ye shall find what? Forgiveness. Then ye shall receive me as your possession. And now Lot, why did he have to go out of Sodom? Because God couldn't come there. He had to punish. Why could Noah not remain on that world? Because God was going to punish. He had to build an ark. And why is God what is God going to teach unto his people? That he is going to grant a safety. Yeah, in that ark Christ Jesus, to the saving of their souls. And how? All that would be to the honor of him. And therefore, what does the Lord Jesus say? Shall not God avenge his own elect? Do you notice what is taking place here in my text words? God is taking possession of people. Because God is calling them his own. Oh, that are those who also in that covenant had Adam have sinned against him. But now they are called here the own elect. And congregation, those own elect, that is now not to put a damper on it all. That is now not to say, why does it now have to be in the Bible that it says they are elect? Because that is the most sure word in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Because congregation, there will be many in the days of Noah and the days of Lot that claim to have a religion, but it is the elect who are going to learn God as their judge and who are going to receive an answer from their judge to the solution of their case. And that's why Christ mentions them here as the elect. In the darkest days before Christ's coming, the Lord hears and is going to answer his people because they are his elect. And that elect goes into the stillness of eternity where God has written them in the blood of the Lamb, in the Lamb's book of life. That lays eternally sure, that lays eternally steadfast. Then all the buying, selling, drinking, giving into marriage and being married will not hinder, will not distract those elect ones. They are standing upon the foundation of Christ's righteousness. And if one of those would be left unanswered, God would injure himself. If one of those elect would be left unanswered in the avenging of their adversaries, God would cease to be God. Do you see how the Lord Jesus is using that word elect to bring to the foreground the comfort that he hears his needy ones, and that he will deliver them even in times and days of great trouble, in the days of the second coming of Christ on the clouds? Oh, congregation, the comfort that he hears them for his own name's sake, for his own honor's sake. And that's why there will come an answer. But let us sing first. 275. We only sing the third stanza. There's no collection, eh? No. This all ages shall record for the glory of the Lord. Thou dost hear the humble prayer for the helpless. Thou dost care. 275, stanza 3. It is actually time to go home and you have a meeting yet. I make it short. That now the Lord is going to give an answer. Is there a remnant here tonight who says that answer? Oh, maybe you say, yeah, twas some encouragement that you said and that God's word says. That the Lord hears those who are making supplication to their judge. But an answer. Is my case still answerable? Is there yet a God in heaven who would be able to declare an answer to my riddles? What does it say? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Who is speaking? Do you know who's speaking? The answer himself. Earthly picture, daily situation, spiritual meaning. You know what is being revealed here in this parable? That there is an answer. His name is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. What did we begin with? That heart. If I in my heart sin regard, my prayer cannot have an answer. And there they lay. With a heart in which they have to encounter so much sin. And congregation, the religion of today has no problems with that. They can pray and they have answers, and you have to trust and you have to do this and you have to do that. And his elect, those true ones, that is now a matter of faith, congregation, faith. That it is only that by faith they will be able to receive the solution. And who is that mediator then? He is the object of faith, given of the Father, made known by the Holy Ghost, and beheld with the eye of faith. And congregation, when Christ is made the object and the Holy Ghost works that true saving faith, through that true saving faith, God's people receive union unto God. And in that union, Christ becomes their intercessor. It shall be like the days of Noah. And like the days of Lot, but Christ has ascended. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he hears the petitions of his elect. How is he attached unto his church? With the wounds which he has suffered in the house of his friends. And he has ascended on high with those pierced hands to intercede. And Hellenbrook says, upon those merits he made demand the salvation of his people, not to the injuring of God, but to the honor of God. So the answer, congregation, that is testimony, because Christ is speaking. If this was just a normal man, not the God man, not Emmanuel, who was speaking this, then everything would be questionable. But this here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to declare, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, it may take a while. It may take your whole life. But Christ has ascended to intercede for his elect. And who are then those elect ones? Who will receive knowledge of God. But also those elect who will receive the union to God. And those elect ones can't let God go until that their union lays solid upon the grounds of Christ Jesus. And so those elect ones also today will lay as creepers in the dust, as guilty ones supplicating to the judge. But Christ has ascended, Father, their praised one, whom thou hast loved, whom I have paid for. Here are the merits. Grant unto his or her soul the answer. And then it may be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. But then their souls shall skip for joy, because then they have something of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then they have some, may I say it very plainly, then they receive an eye and a sight upon the heavenly real estate. Then you don't need buildings here below no more. But then you may receive an eye upon him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then in the midst of the days of Noah and of Lot, that inheritance may sometimes say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, to deliver me from my body, which is still so inclined to evil. But come to deliver me and to take me unto thyself, to be with thee where thou art, where I will never have to pray anymore, but where I may eternally be translated to praise thee, and that undisturbed and without sin. And now show, congregation, there is a church that goes over the earth that says in the days of Noah, would it be true? Your answer lays, God will make it through. Do you hear that, Church of God? In Christ Jesus, God becomes true. True to his word, true to his deliverance, true to his honor. And so that church receives that deliverance. But do you know what Christ has to say? Shall he find faith in the earth? Oh, congregation, I close. You're going to call a minister, eh? I hope you may receive one who in those last days may be used as an instrument in God's hand to plant that faith, to strengthen that faith, and that there may also be that there then in Cortland are those who shall be gathered where faith may translate into building. Does the minister do that? No. But a true minister God will use as a true instrument. May the Lord bless you with it. Amen. Lord, we come to the close. Oh, wilt thou remember in thy mercy. May there be, Lord, those who receive knowledge of thee as judge, because then thou wilt hear their cries. And at thy time, speedily, not to our opinions, to our reasoning, or to our thinking, but to thy decree, speedily receive an answer in Christ Jesus by faith. Lord, remember this flock. Guide the vote tonight. And Lord, remember them in that unknown future. Send unto them the man of thy choosing. And remember him who hopes to receive the call. May he receive it from thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing psalter, that is 261. Truth and mercy toward his people he has ever kept in mind. 2 and 3 of 261. receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.